For the text this morning, I'd like to read from the epistle text from the book of Luke, chapter 3. And beginning with the second verse and reading through the 14th verse. It's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, and beginning with verse 2. And reading the words in Jesus' name. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he unto the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart unto him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Amen. Heavenly Father, these are your words. We have read these words through the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that this morning that they would be opened unto us, and that, Father, that you would speak to us, and that we may be able to understand and be able to grasp them. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 2, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. It's interesting. According to Jewish law, there was only one high priest, and that priest held that office for his entire life. But here we read that there's two. In studying on this, the religious arena or the religious religion or religious of the Jews at that time had become very corrupt. And we can see even read in the Gospel of John how Jesus confronts all of the Jewish leaders. They thought more of themselves than they should, and they exacted payment out of the people more than they should. But the Roman ruler at that time saw this, and he understood that things just weren't right. So he appointed, actually, Annas's father-in-law, Caiaphas, to be the high priest. So that's why there were two of them at this time. But the Jewish law being what it was, the people of the Hebrew faith or of the Jewish faith at that time recognized Annas as being their high priest because they're the ones that put him there. And in recognizing that, he also still retained a lot of his power. We see even in the crucifixion that the both of them were involved. So, in knowing this, there were two people that had to be convinced that Christ was indeed the Savior. There were two people that would have to be convinced that they must turn away from their thinking and their understanding. So the verse goes on that the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country around Jordan, preaching the baptism and repentance for the remission of sins. You see that immediately when God spoke to him. It was a very, very short time after that that he began to preach his message. And this being the very reason for him to have been here. This being the very reason for him to have been born. Scripture tells us that he went and dwelt in the deserts, ate wild locusts and honey. In this day and age, if we were to look upon that, we'd look probably a little strange. That just wasn't normal. Maybe back in those days it was. But he was waiting for God's call, and he was waiting patiently for that call. And when that call came, he listened. He heard that call. And he went and started proclaiming the message. He came into the country about Jordan, and he was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. The baptism of repentance is an assurance from God. The baptism of that is the grace of God that goes along with repentance. To use that term repentance, we have to understand of what it means. When a person is repentant and comes out of the world of sin, there is a turning away. And there's a turning away from the old life. You don't hang on to any of it. You don't hang on to a little piece of it and say, well, you know, I still enjoy doing this, so I'm going to continue to go out and do it. No. True repentance is recognizing that I am guilty of all sin. Not just a part of it, not just the ones that I remember, not just the ones that I want to get rid of and still retain others. I am guilty of all sin. Everything that has ever been introduced to mankind through the devil, I'm guilty of it. Even though we never partook of it. Because the truth is, and the simple fact is that we are capable of partaking of it. Because of our flesh. We are capable of partaking of anything that mankind has ever dreamed up. Not that we have, but there is that capability there. And we are given the choice to do it or not. And the only way that we don't do it is by God's grace once we come unto repentance. So he went out preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, or unto the remission of sins. That in repenting, sins are forgiven. They're remitted. They're put aside. They are no longer remembered. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, or the prophet saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. During that time when this was written, a king, if he were to go visit a part of his kingdom, whether it's just outside the city or 20 miles away, a messenger would be sent forth. He'd be sent out of the palace, and he would tell the people, hey, the king is going to be coming, so clean up your act. Clean up the roads, make them straight, no rocks in the road, just make it easy for him to travel. Give him a way that is straight, so that he's not having to climb and go over and around, even as it continues on further on. That every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. That messenger was sent out to tell the people, hey, the king is coming, clean it up. Well, this is what John was doing. John was going out and letting the people know that the king is coming. Your Lord, your Savior, the Savior of mankind is coming. Clean up your act. Don't think that you're going to be able to fool him. Don't think that you're going to be able to make him think that you're better than you are. No. As we read already in in the third verse, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That's what the message was all about. And that's what Christ wanted. And that was the way to make his road straight. Because once repentance has been made and person comes into faith, Christ has a way to make into our hearts. He has a wide open door to enter in because we recognize that we have nothing of ourselves. We recognize that we have nothing to offer. But we open that door for him to come in and abide with us. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Let me read that again. Verse number 6. And all, not part, not the Jewish nation, not a certain select few, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John the Baptist was already starting to preach that this message that Christ is bringing is for all mankind, not just for the Jewish nation. It was being given for everybody. It was a tough thing for the Jewish nation to understand because they felt as though they were the ones that were going to reap all the benefits and all the rewards. And now here comes a guy saying, no, it's not going to be that way. Everybody is going to be able to partake of it. And then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized unto him. Now this is interesting. He's not pulling any punches. O generation of vipers, or offspring of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's pretty significant. And he wasn't pulling punches. And who is he speaking to? He was speaking to the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, even as Christ did in the Gospel of John, where he told them, you worship your father, the devil. John here is telling, oh, you generation of vipers, you snakes. Who's warned you to come and to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, you have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Basically, what they were doing is they were covering all their bases. You know, they're hearing John, and I'm amazed at the fact that John was given this instruction by God to go forth and preach. Shortly thereafter, he did. There's nothing in here that says, well, the people just kind of stayed away until they kind of figured out who he was. No, they came in multitudes to hear him. Even the scribes and the Pharisees. And they wanted to make sure that they had all their bases covered so that there wasn't anything left out. It was an outward religion that they had. It wasn't inward. It wasn't anything that they fully understood or comprehended. They were protecting their position because they did not want to lose it. And they certainly didn't want to give it up to anybody else. And in essence, that's what John was saying here. O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then he goes on, he says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. As in the book of James, it says that your works reveal your faith. Not your works to try to gain anything, but your works of faith. Understanding and comprehending who Christ is and what he has done, and wanting others to know that same message. That's a work of faith. He's telling him, show me. Show me your faith. Show me the works that you've done that would be a reference to your faith or be an example of your faith. And don't begin to say within yourselves, don't say to yourself, well, I mean, hey, we've got Abraham. We're the sons of Abraham. We're his offspring. There's no faith there. There's no religion there. There's nothing. My dad couldn't give me faith. My mom couldn't give me faith. My grandpa couldn't give me faith. We can't depend on our parents or our lineage or anything else to give us faith. That has to come from God. And it has to be personal. It can't depend on anybody or anything. It has to be mine. And the only way I get that is by when God shows it to me and God reveals himself to me. And by the Holy Spirit, I am led. I have come unto repentance, and I believe. And I believe everything that my Savior said, and I believe everything that he did, and I believe that he died on that cross for me. I believe that. Not because someone told me, not because of someone who raised me, but because of what God did for me. We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able, and boy, this is now here's another one where John kind of slaps him. That God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He's able to take these rocks right here on the ground. And he's able to raise them up, and he's able to have people here that'll say, yeah, Abraham was my dad. Do they have faith? No. They were a rock. There was nothing there. It was an example. What he was trying to tell them, don't do this. Don't grab a hold of something like that. And he's telling us the same thing today in this message. Don't hang on to what we were, who we are, who we belong to, or who our lineage is, or anything. Because believe me, when we stand before God on that last day, none of that will matter. Because we will be there all by ourselves. And there's not going to be a lawyer to represent us, as much as the earth would like you to think there would be. We will be alone. And it is God who will look to us. And it is God who will look upon us and see our faith. God who will look upon us and understand that I am a sinner, but Christ died for me, and I believe that. And I believe what he did for me. And I believe in his sacrifice. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Here again, he's telling them. He's giving a very, very descriptive warning. Every tree, therefore, which brings forth, which does not bring forth good fruit, is cut down. And we'll make a building out of it. No. It's cast in the fire. Every single tree that is cut down, every single person who does not believe these words, and who does not believe that Christ is their Savior, and who does not bring forth the fruit of faith, will be cut down and cast into the fire. It's very descriptive. And it's very important to understand that. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Now he covers three different people here at the end of this text. People said, okay, what are we supposed to do? And he answered and said to them, now this is to believers, this first part. And it's also written in the book of Acts of the early church on what they did. And he answered and said to them, he who has two coats, let him give one to that doesn't have any. And he that has food, let him give to people who don't. This is an act of faith. This is what Christians do. And then the publicans, or the taxpayers, if you will, or tax collectors, if you will, they had come also to be baptized. And he said unto, and they asked him, okay, Master, what shall we do? And he goes on and he tells them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. Because we all know their habit was, Well, let's get a little bit extra. You see, the tax collector was not there by himself. He had his people. I mean, he couldn't cover all of that ground himself. So others kind of helped him out. So he'd take some, he'd add a little extra on there to cover their wages. And then he'd add even more to cover his wages. And then he would also take his wages out of the tax that he was collecting, that the Roman government said he could have. So they had kind of three fingers in the pie, so to speak. So he said, don't take any more than what's asked of you. If the tax for this particular individual over here is a dollar, then you charge him a dollar. You don't charge him $1.20 or $1.50 or $1.75 or $5. You charge just exactly what the tax is. And then he goes on, and this one kind of surprised me a little bit when you really get into it. In verse 14, and the soldiers who were there. Now, why would there be soldiers around there? Well, in that time, it was pretty typical that the soldiers would always be around, especially where there was a large gathering, because they wanted to make sure they put down anything that the people might be trying to do. But in this particular case, these soldiers were what they called temple guards. They were the ones around the temple guarding it and making sure that everything went smoothly. And the soldiers demanded, and this kind of goes along with their mentality, I'm a soldier and you're going to do what I want you to do. Of him saying, and what shall we do? And he said to them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And this was the reason why they did a lot of the things they did. Accuse people of doing things they didn't do. Throw them in prison. Exact some money out of them. Try to get some money out of them. It's all about greed. The taxpayers, the Pharisees, the soldiers, all about greed. And it goes on today. Greed does not know any boundaries. And be content with your wages. There's a three short little messages here. I'd read this in one of my studies. But these three verses, or these three examples that John talked about to these individuals: share, do your job well, and be content with what you get, or be content with your wages. Now I don't have to hide anything. I remember years ago, Harvey told me one time, he said, we were talking about different things, and he said, always tell the truth, because that way you don't have to remember what you said. It's a lot of truth to that. You share because you have extra. You do your job well because you know how to do it. And don't be tempted to do more or to try to get more than what the job requires. And be content with the wages that you are being paid. You signed on for the job. Be content with what you're being paid. If you're recognized as being someone extraordinary, then you will be rewarded. But be content and wait on God to take care of things for you. He add his blessings to these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.